Welcome back to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. And for the next 15 minutes or so, we're going to be talking with Pastor Michael Roth of Trinity Lutheran Church of St. Joseph's, Michigan, about the value of vicarage. Pastor Roth wrote an article in a recent For the Life of the World publication from Concordia Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the experience and value of vicarage. And we thought it'd be a great idea, a great opportunity to talk about, well, what vicarage is, what it's good for, why we do it. Welcome to the show, Pastor Roth.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Thank you for joining us. Before we dig into vicarage, why don't you tell the people, the listeners out there, a little bit about Trinity Lutheran Church in St. Joseph's?
Trinity Lutheran is a large church. We are celebrating our 150th year this year in 2017. Nice to have coincidental connection with the 500th anniversary of the Reformation.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're making as most of that as we can. We sit on the, we're in the southwest corner of the state of Michigan. We're right on Lake Michigan. It's a beautiful location, surrounded by vineyards and fruit farms, and just a wonderful place to be. So quite often our vicars arrive and they think to themselves, wow, this is going to be wonderful. They go down to the beach and they see the lake, and it's just a wonderful spot for a vicar to be for a year. And I'm blessed to be here as the full-time permanent pastor.
Yeah, and then the supervisor of those vicars as well. And I want to talk about all of that because some people know, but not everybody does know about the process of becoming a pastor and what a central role vicarage plays in that. So why don't you just go ahead and define vicarage to begin with?
Well, the traditional vicarage is the third year of a seminary's education. They go 2 years on campus at a seminary, Fort Wayne or St. Louis. Then the third year, they'll go for one whole year out into the parish, assigned to a church with a supervisor, where they just get their feet wet and experience ministry firsthand. Then they would return to the seminary for a fourth year of academics, and then they would be ready at that point to graduate and to receive a call into the parish, into the ministry.
While they're on vicarage, they're going to do a lot of things that a pastor would do, and they're going to not do a few things that a pastor would do.
That's true. They probably will do more things than they imagined. The pastor is going to be sharing with them his day-to-day activities, and he will ask the vicar to really participate in as much of the ministry as possible. Of course, a vicar is not able to do a wedding, or probably wouldn't do a funeral. The pastor is there to be the shepherd of the people. So the vicar is observing, participating, learning from his mentor, and doing most of the things a pastor would do, but not quite everything.
In the article, you talk about how there's a common phrase you've heard both from pastors and fourth-year seminary students on my vicarage, and drawing out the idea that it's such a impactful year. It's such a dynamic year, whether it's good or bad, whether where you are in the States doesn't matter so much. You always come back with stories from vicarage.
That's true. I always find that to be fascinating because people remember with fondness and quite vivid memories their vicarage experience. And I think that has to do with the excitement of that year, the great anticipation and the eagerness to learn. It really is formative and impressionable. And throughout your ministry, you will kind of look back to your vicarage year as the time when you really got an understanding of what the ministry is all about. You'll remember some mistakes you've made and things you have learned, and those are all very valuable to carry with you throughout your ministry.
And you kind of come out of the seminary like a young puppy ready to pee truth everywhere you go. And Vicarage is a time when you learn that there's some times to hold your tongue, some times to hold it in a little bit, and then other times when maybe you need to be a little more focused. And having the hand of a supervisor, maybe we'll talk about that role a little bit, holding you, kind of forming you, saying, now go here, go there, is tremendous. So in your own experience as a supervisor, what does that entail? How much work does that put on your week above and beyond? Things like that.
Well, I would say that most of the vicars that I have been able to supervise have been men who are very capable and prepared as much as they can be at this stage of their education. So it doesn't take a lot of hand-holding at this level, but it does require a lot of conversation, talking about what is the best approach to this individual or to this ministry, or how do I prepare this sermon or this Bible study? So there's a lot of conversation around those topics. I think the vicar also is given the opportunity to kind of spread his wings a bit with the safety net of his supervisor. I tell my vicars that this is the year you can make mistakes without significant consequence, because I'm going to be standing there with you to absorb maybe some of the shock if it need be, or to help you along the way. And so I want them to feel the freedom of just trying themselves in the ministry and seeing how well they do.
It's kind of nice. I experienced a similar sort of thing as an associate pastor for a while, is that you don't quite have the target on your back. If something goes wrong, there's always someone above you to take the fall, right? What compelled you, Pastor Roth, to become a vicarage supervisor? What really was the story behind that?
I've had the opportunity to be in some large parishes that, first of all, could use the extra hand that a vicar will provide, but also had some of the financial resources needed to support a vicarage. And so I've been happy with that. Also, a larger parishes quite often have a diversity of ministry that gives a vicar a variety of opportunities. So that those things kind of have gone together, at least in my setting, to provide a good vicarage location. And I'm thinking of two different parishes I've been at. I've been here now 10 years, and most of my supervision has been through Trinity Lutheran St. Joe. I also like to stay involved with the seminary as far as my own continuing education, and just keeping a hand in that has kept me close to the student body, and I find that to be reinvigorating for me. It keeps me sharp in my ministry to be challenged by these young seminarians who are learning and growing and asking questions, and so I find it to be a good relationship.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Seminary, one of the great values there is that consolation of the brethren at a level where you're all reading the same stuff and your brains get to kind of come together and clash against each other in a good way, iron sharpening iron. And as a pastor in the parish, you're not always afforded that. Your circuit can sometimes provide that for you, but I can only imagine how much fun it must be to have these young little pups coming out ready to talk and debate and converse and give you a chance to even maybe hear what they're reading and learning. You touched on something there that I think is important too, and that is the value the congregation that has a financial resource provides to the synod at large by training this young man to be a pastor for a year, by being in the vicarage program. And so could you talk a minute about that, about what a service this really is as congregation to the church at large?
Yeah, that is something that the congregation needs to understand. And I've worked hard at that, and our congregation has really embraced it. The idea that we as a congregation are providing a service to the church at large. We aren't getting a vicar because it's cheap help. We're getting a vicar so that we can give to him something that will be value in his ministry. And so we're here to serve the church. And with that understanding, I think we care for our vicars well. We treat them very nicely. Most of the vicars, all the vicars who've left here have said, this is a wonderful parish. The people have embraced us, cared for us, nurtured us, and have just been wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ to us.
Now, when you first get a vicar walking in, what's the first piece of advice you give him?
First piece of advice to the vicar is that these are people who are going to care for you as much as you care for them. So I know you're only here a year, but get to know the people the best you can. Learn to know who they are as you care for them, much as a pastor will in the parish. You're not just passing through in spending the time. You're really engaging yourself in a gospel ministry that could change lives. You are a vessel, even as a vicar, of God's grace and mercy, and you'll have opportunity to share the wonderful message of Christ while you're here.
There's so much wisdom there about building trust as well, that for the ears to be open at times, the person who you're talking to needs to know that you're not just there to make a sale, but to get to really care for who they are. And so building that capital is one of the most important skills that a pastor can have. Now, my next question is kind of like it. What's the last piece of advice you give a vicar when he walks out the door, when he heads back to seminary?
You know, most of them leave with maybe more questions than they came with. I think that as they start, they are ready to take on the world. They think they're quite well educated, and they are. But when they leave at the end of a year, they have so much more they want to learn and to discover. And I encourage them to use what they have observed and learned on vicarage to form a foundation of continuing education. Take those classes that are going to kind of fill in the holes that they've discovered in themselves. Continue to read and work with colleagues, fellow students, and then later on in the ministry, fellow pastors, to sharpen those skills and to just develop the gifts that God has given them to use fully in ministry.
Last question with about a minute left. If somebody's listening right now, just a lay member, and they would like to get involved in the vicarage program, how would you encourage them to start that process?
First thing they need to do, of course, is to talk with their leadership in the congregation. It's a congregation that is involved in the vicarage program, not just a supervising pastor. And so once the congregation is on board and they understand what a vicar is and see the value of sharing their ministry with a student who's learning, and then working through the seminaries and the districts of our synod, to explore the possibility and to even make application for a vicar. It's a learning process. But once a congregation has experienced the vicarage, most of them want to do it again. And so you'll find that many congregations have had numerous vicars year after year because they've realized the value of that partnership between parish and seminary and the church at large.
Talking with Pastor Michael Roth of Trinity Lutheran Church in St. Joseph's, Michigan, about the value of vicarage to the church. Thank you, Pastor Roth, for being with us today.
It's been my pleasure.
You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. We'll be back after the break with the Daily Lectionary Study.